We're going to start a new message tonight, a new series entitled Jesus, Our Bread of Life. And this is really just going to be an intro tonight, and Sunday morning we're going to just blast off and get into this message. But tonight we're just going to talk about a few things that the Lord has given me, and hopefully He will be able to show us some things that will help us tonight. And it will be more than just a good word. It'll be something the Lord can use to help us see more clearly and to quicken our spirit, man, to help us have a greater desire to serve Him and more insight, more discernment, and just what the Word of God really means. You know, you couldn't really understand the Word until you began to sit under somebody preaching the message of the cross. Oh, we thought we knew the Word. We knew what it said, but we didn't have a clue what it meant. And you can't know what the Bible means unless you're looking through the sacrifice. And that's a guaranteed promise. Unless you're looking through the sacrifice, you have no light from heaven to see the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when He comes, He will reveal all truth. He will talk about Jesus because He is truth. And so, until we began to hear the Word of God in truth, we were just really confused. We knew what it said, but we really didn't know what it meant. And now we're walking in the very meaning of the Word of God. It's a whole different life. It's called sanctification. It's called understanding. It's called wisdom. And more than confessing, I have it. Father, I need wisdom in the name of Jesus. Huh, I believe I got it just then when I asked for it. That ain't gonna work, my friend. You gotta have your faith in the cross where Jesus was made wisdom unto you, 1 Corinthians 1:30, and that's just the way it works. With everything God is offering, you have to see it through the sacrifice. You have to have faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary. On the way to work this morning, I was thinking about when we got saved, we did not put our faith in salvation. We put our faith in Christ and what He did to give us salvation, to save us. And it works that way after that with everything. You do not put your faith in healing. You do not put your faith in these provisional things that Christ. You put your faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary to be able to receive salvation in all of its aspects, healing being one of those. Now that was already enough right there. Because most people think that their faith has to be in this or this or this. There's only one thing your faith can be in that God will acknowledge your faith as being legitimate, and that is His Son Jesus and what He did for you at Calvary. And when your faith is in that, then you have the light of God. You know, in the Old Testament, God would send fire from heaven and burn up the sacrifice. That was the light of God. Cain, when he showed up, he refused to bring what God had commanded had to be brought. And because he would not bring what God commanded, he became a vagabond and a wanderer because he had no light. The only light God offers, Jesus said concerning Himself, I am the light of the world. But the only way He is anyone's light is through the sacrifice. The fire of God in our hearts is because of our faith in the sacrifice. So let me say it again. When we got saved, our faith was not in salvation. It was in Christ and what He did to save us. So our faith is not in healing, it's for healing, but it's in Christ. There's only one place to believe, and that's in Christ. And therefore, at that point, then all the benefits not only become available to you, but the Lord attempts daily to load you with those benefits that He cannot do outside of your faith in the cross. I can't help it who won't preach it that narrow. But Galatians 1 and 6 and 5, 1 through 4 tells us that Christ won't profit us, can't profit us or affect us, can't benefit us if our faith is not in the grace of God we received when we got saved. Now I'm just one of them preachers. We're going to preach it like it is. We're not going to milk it down. We're not going to back up a little bit because brother so-and-so might stop giving his big dollars. We don't care about brother so-and-so's big dollars. We care about getting people on the narrow path of righteousness. Amen. We know it's an offensive message to the prideful. But it's a humbling, it's a gracious and merciful message, a delivering and saving and provisional message to the humble. Hallelujah. So we're going to see some things tonight, and I needed to say those things that I just said because so many times in all our past, we had our faith in this, we had our faith in that. Faith can only be in one thing, Christ. And what he accomplished at Calvary. Amen. Then the Word of God, we begin to understand. Then the Word of God begins to literally be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then I see where I'm going. Then I see the will of God. Then I begin to experience the gifts that he placed in me from the time I was in my mother's womb. Then I begin to experience this life, this eternal life that we're told to lay hold of. Hallelujah. So, and I said what I'm about to say in the meetings this weekend as I stood either to receive the offering or at the end. I don't remember when I said it, but the first two times, and we'll look at those, Genesis 3:19, Brother Terry, and Genesis 14:18. We'll look at these two scriptures. For it's the first two times in the Word of God that the word bread is used. The word bread. And just to dig a little bit deeper into Sunday's message, I'll remind you, and we will have to be reminded of this along the way, Jesus is our bread. There's no life outside of Jesus. None at all except physical, which if that's all you ever have, you're going to go to hell. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a spiritual life. You've got to have the Spirit of God. You've got to have spiritual life, a spiritual awakening. You've got to die to who you were and become alive to God in Christ Jesus. How, just like when God formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into us a spirit life. And we became, the Bible says, a living soul. The same thing happens when you're born again. Except the second creation isn't formed out of dust. It's a new creation that's formed and found only in Christ. Because God shined his light in you. When you believed in the gospel, God not only crucified you, but he breathed new life into you. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Amen. Eternal life, abundant life. Amen. My Lord. Amen. Woo! So the first time we see the word bread in the book, in the Bible, it's in Genesis 3:19, and it's really speaking to physical life. And it says this, in the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Until you return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. I want you to know before man sinned, he wasn't sweating to do anything. And all he had to do was go out and keep the garden, and he didn't have to work by the sweat of his brow. The stuff he needed to eat was hanging on the vine for him. But now, because he disobeyed God, and we're going to get into that some tonight too, he disobeyed God, now he would have to work to physically live by the sweat of his brow. Something God didn't intend. But sin caused that to happen. And sin is a lot worse than we want to imagine. Sin is hard. One day we'll know, I believe, how bad sin really was. We ought to know more than anybody, those of us walking with our faith in the cross, because the cross of Jesus Christ was more than the love of God being poured out to a lost world. It was also the judgment of God against sin, a hatred towards sin, a defeat of sin. Amen. Y'all ought to be shouting tonight. Hallelujah. The cross was more. It was the love of God manifest. But it's also the judgment of God against sin in his Son. Hallelujah. The next time we see the word bread in the scriptures is just a few chapters later in the 14th chapter of Genesis, verse 18. And the Bible says this is a story right after Abraham had fought the five different kings and defeated them and took all their spoil. And the Bible says in verse 18 of Genesis 14, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, this is not something that Abraham had to work for. This is something that the priest, who was symbolic of Christ, brought, representing Christ, the bread and the wine, typifying the body and the blood of Jesus, the priest of God. They've always pointed to the cross. And when Melchizedek showed up, Abraham gave tithes of all that he had. Because he recognized, and you've heard me say this through the years, true ministry. True ministry is all about the cross, the sacrifice of Christ. If ministry is not about that, and I didn't say because of that, it is because of that, but it is also about that, or it has gone astray. Ministries can't just be today doing whatever, preaching whatever, because they have a ministry because of the cross. No, our ministries are because of the cross, and they are about the cross, or they're off track. Amen. Amen. And so this second time we see the word bread, we see it in a spiritual sense. That although in this life, in this flesh, we've got to work by the sweat of our brow for our physical living, but for our spiritual life, we don't work for it. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, died on the cross, shed his own blood that you and I might partake of the bread and the wine. And we'll see that a little later on too, probably Sunday morning, where Jesus tells them, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. You see, what Melchizedek showed up with was a message from heaven. The blood and the wine, the wine and the bread typifying Jesus Christ who would come and die. You see, there is no such thing as a priest of God that's not pointing to Calvary. If they're not pointing to Calvary, I don't care how much scripture they know, how nice they dress, or how well they can speak. If they're not pointing you to Calvary, every time you get together, God didn't send them to talk about what they talked about. And I don't care who you want to bring up and what you want to say about anybody. If they're not preaching the cross, they're wasting time. And we're not called to waste time. We're called to redeem the time. Hallelujah. And you can't do it with anything but the message of the cross. Preach the word. And the word became flesh and went to the cross. That word. Amen, Brother Curtis. Preach on, Brother Curtis. Yeah. It's just the truth. There's not many on the earth today who have their faith in the truth. There's not many today who are actually partaking of the Lord. They think they are because they go to church. They think they are because they read the Bible. They think they are because they sing or because they cry every day or because they pray. They do all these things that are good, good things. But the only way to partake of Christ is by faith in the sacrifice. The only way to eat the bread of life is through faith in the cross. That's where the bread was made available, nowhere else. Nowhere else was it made available. Jesus says this in Matthew 4:4. Telling the devil, he's telling the devil this as he's out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. In Matthew 4:4, he tells the devil, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He's talking about the physical life. If all you got's physical life, you're dead. You're dead. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. There's more you need than that sandwich, my friend. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, We're the justified. How did we get justified? By the Word of God in the context of Christ and His atoning work on Calvary's cross. The just that had been justified by faith. The just have been justified by faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary. And the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're justified by faith, we live by faith. That faith must be the faith that justified us and brought us life and maintains life. Or it's a word out of context. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Faith, when it comes, overcomes. Bible says that. 1 John. I don't know what chapter, but it's there. Maybe chapter 5. Faith that you have is the faith that overcomes the world. The faith that comes when we hear the word. I didn't say read it. I didn't say hear me preach it. When you hear God giving it to you. You know when that is? When you humbly submit to it. Outside of that, you're just reading, my friends. Outside of that, you're just sitting in a chair listening to some preacher preach. But when you hear it, faith comes. And when faith comes, faith overcomes. My Lord. Don't try to pull me over after church and say, well, brother, faith, I got faith, but it ain't over. No, faith overcomes. Where's my water? I'm going to have a drink tonight. This is that good old H2O. Without it, you can't physically live. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't live. Amen. Y'all heard that, didn't you? That's a good speaker system Bo hooked up for us. And a mighty fine Shure microphone. Hallelujah. Thank God for good technology. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? When faith comes, it only comes not because we wake up feeling good today. I feel faithful today. No, faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word. And when faith comes, faith overcomes. So whatever it is you're struggling with, what do you need? You need a word from the Lord. And that's what He always brings on the scene. Oh, a pat on the back and a hug make you feel real good, but it won't deliver you from nothing. The Bible says Jesus taught you'll be free when you know the truth. The truth. The Word of God in truth. The Bible says, what is it, Psalms 120? Maybe I think it is chapter 120. Somewhere in there. I'm kind of messed up tonight. I can't remember too good. But it says the Lord sent forth His Word to heal them and to deliver them from all destruction. He didn't send a quiver and a shiver and a quake and a shake to go. He sent the Word. His name is Jesus. To deliver us. Heal us and to deliver us from all destruction. Amen. That means to deliver us from all the flesh we used to sow in and reap destruction. Now we can sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. Because He sent His Word. I ain't talking about Bible verses. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the living Word. Listen, the Bible not going to do you any good till you come back and put your faith in Jesus and what He did at Calvary. The living, I've said it for 11 and a half years, all 11 and a half, until you put your faith and keep your faith in the One who was the living Word of God who went to the cross to die for your sins. The written Word of God cannot be applied to your life. Although it's the truth. The Holy Spirit only applies truth to our lives through the cross. Only through our faith in the cross. Galatians 1 and 6 and 5 and 1 through 4 tell us that. reveal that among other scriptures such as Psalms 33:4 that tells us the word of the Lord is right, but all his works are done in truth. You want God working in your life? Come back to the truth. I didn't say the Bible, although it's the truth. You got to come back to the truth. What's the truth? The word of God in the context of the man who said, I am the truth, and what he did to become your applicable, liberating truth. Hallelujah. Y'all got me feeling like preaching in here tonight a little bit. We're doing a little teaching tonight. Folk who get mad and don't like this don't want instruction. The Bible says you don't want instruction, you can't have life. Instruction is your life. You don't want instruction, you could care less, you can't live. Instruction is your life. Show me somebody who can't take instruction. I'm quoting out of the book of Proverbs. So you show me somebody that cannot be instructed in anything, then they can't be successful in anything. Amen. You know those people, they already know it all. You know. And they end up cutting their finger off, and they still know it all. Now they know it all with one less finger. You can't tell them. You can't tell them. You can't help them. They're hard-headed and they're going to figure it out. They think themselves, but they're not. The Bible says, if you can't take instruction, you can't have life. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Spiritual. That's spiritual. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Proverbs before we run out of time tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, Brother Terry, if we could put that on the screen, verses 13 through 17 is where we will read. And the point of these scriptures I want to show you here is this right here, if you can listen to me. And I brought this out Monday night in prayer, that all my life I thought sowing was something I do. Sowing, you know, sowing and reaping. I ain't talking about sewing threads together. Sowing and reaping. All my life I thought sowing was something I had to do. Sowing is also could be something I'm not doing that I should be doing. Sowing is not necessarily an action. It could be no action when there needs to be action. And watch this in Proverbs 4, 13 through 17. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Wow, there it is right there. It's in my notes. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You know what that means? When you're watching the Super Bowl and a half, three-quarter naked woman comes on, you're to change the channels and watch National Geographic, the beautiful fish in the ocean, till it's over. Look, do you love God? Don't sit here and say you love God, sitting at home watching that mess. I know you do love God. But as we've been ministering here lately, where's the experience of that love? Where's the experience of that relationship? Watch this. I'm going to start over. Take fast hold of instruction. That means the instruction of the Lord. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now watch this. Avoid it. Don't even pass by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Amen. Run. Amen. I mean, when you see evil, don't sit there and play with it across the room. Turn and go away. You know, in the Old Testament, God never told his people. He never told his people, it's okay if you marry their sons and their daughters, let your children marry. He never did that. He never said, it's okay if you let your sons marry their daughters or your daughters marry their sons. Maybe we can get some of them saved and maybe they'll become Israelites. He never said that. You know why? Because God knows even his own people, if they start dabbling with folk who won't worship him, they're going to be tempted and more than likely fall away and worship who they're worshiping. The devil. So that's why he said don't. That's why he's telling us here, run from evil. Watch this. Now, this is pretty amazing here, verse 16. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Have you ever seen that in the Bible? The evil people can't even sleep unless they've done evil. Now, we can't sleep if we've done evil.
Amen.
Because we're convicted. They can't sleep unless they're doing evil. Molly, it's right here in your Bible. Did you see that? They sleep not except they've done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That means all they can do is lay in the bed at night thinking about, I'm going to get them tomorrow. Yeah, I ain't putting up with that. I'm going to get them. Just like an old rabid dog. Can't even sleep for trying to figure out how they going to get back at somebody. How, you know, evil. Watch this. This is what I wanted to show you now. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And this scripture needed to be used in the intro of this series that we're doing about Jesus, the bread of our life, because whichever way we sow, either obedience to the word of God or disobedience to the word of God, we are eating. We are partaking. It says here, because they're living in an evil life. They won't have the instruction of the Lord. They're just all caught up in the world. It's music, Hollywood. They're all caught up in all the... Let me tell you something. Don't just sit here and think that evil is just the people out there killing and raping and out there on heroin and prostitutes. Evil is envy and strife and jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness and things that are in our hearts sometimes. Amen. Boy, we hear the word evil and we instantly think about everybody else but us. You're called to hate sin, not in everybody else's life, but your own first. But notice, these wicked people, the Lord tells Solomon to write this in the word of God, they eat the bread of wickedness. We're called to eat the bread of life. They eat the bread of wickedness. They're sowing to the flesh. It's all they can do is lost people. But mark this down. Even if you're a Christian, if you're sowing to the flesh, the Bible teaches you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap destruction because you're eating the bread of that wickedness. You're eating. Listen, Romans 6:16 tells us that. Don't you know it starts out? Know ye not that to who you yield your members to serve, his servants you are to who you yield your members to, whether it be of sin unto death or righteousness unto life. Let me read it over and make sure I didn't mess that up. I like to get it just right. Romans 6:16 says this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield. This is talking about partaking. This is talking about eating. Yielding is eating. You're eating of something when you're yielding. You're partaking of something. If it's evil, then we're eating the bread of wickedness. If it's the word of God and we're walking in obedience, we're literally living by faith, the justified, saved, live by faith, obedience to the word of God, then we're partaking of the bread of life, literally laying hold on this eternal life we already have, experiencing. Watch this. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether it's of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then he gets into the great scriptures, and I won't dig into them because we'll just go all way off track tonight. Start teaching Romans 6. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's some of the best stuff you'll ever hear in your life, and you can't hear it enough. But I wanted to share this scripture with you tonight in Proverbs because it talks about the evil people and the worldly people. And I'm going to tell you, there's so much world up in the pulpit in the church today, it ain't even funny. Worldly music, homosexuals and lesbians in the pulpit leading praise and worship, standing trying to preach the word of God. It's just pitiful. I don't care how sweet they sound and I don't care how they look and I don't care how deceiving they are. They're eating the bread of wickedness. If your faith, and let me say it again tonight, if your faith is legitimate, then it is the faith of the Son of God that loved you and gave his life for you. And that faith, my friend, overcomes. That faith endures. That faith brings victory. If you got some faith that can't love, can't give, can't endure, can't find victory, then you need to start listening to somebody preaching the faith. Well, I got a preacher that preaches the word. I said the faith. Amen. I wanted to show you that. I hope you're getting this. I hope you'll be willing to not let it slip from you either. And I want to show you this tonight too in Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to quit here in just a few minutes, probably a little early tonight. Genesis 2:16. And this is where the Lord commanded the man before sin came in. This is the first time God spoke to man. And what God tell man? You're free. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? What's the first thing God told you as a new creation? You're free. First thing he told Adam, you're free to eat of all the trees in the garden. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? The first time God spoke to the man he created in his image, he said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. You're free. That's pretty awesome. And when we were born again, I hope you know the Lord told you, you are free now to eat of all the benefits of Jesus who died on the tree for you. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Watch this. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. What we do or do not do with the word of God will determine what we are eating. What we do or do not do with the word of God will determine what we are eating. That's all Adam and Eve had, was a word from the Lord. You know, today I had this thought. When the devil told Eve, when he was trying to deceive her and was successful, he said this to her, did God say? Because see, God didn't tell Eve. God told Adam. And then Adam told Eve. So the devil comes along, just like he does today, and liars and mockers out there, they say to people, did God say? Well, I know what you're telling me your preacher said, but did God say that? And I had that thought this morning on the way, boy, I have lots of thoughts on the way to work in the morning. Lord really blesses me. I preached the best message this morning on my way to work that I've preached in a long time. I thought, my Lord, I wish they could hear this one, but I guess it's just for me, Lord. I'd have preached myself happy by the time I got to work this morning. Y'all need to try it sometime, I'm telling you. Amen. That's not just for preachers. What we do or do not do with the Word of God will determine what we're eating, and what we eat will either give us life or kill us. What we're eating will either give us life or it will kill us. If we're eating the bread of wickedness, if we're sowing to the flesh, God has already said it. It's concrete. You're going to reap corruption. It's not a maybe. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap. That means experience, lay hold on this eternal life we already have. Amen. People who say, well, I know I should be, but I know I shouldn't be, but they're sowing to the flesh. They're eating the bread of wickedness. I don't care how many tears they cry. That's not a move of God. A move of God is when you hear God and you obey God. That was a move of God. A move of God is not bringing you to the altar and crying about your sin and then leaving in your sin. A move of God is that you heard God, you believed God, and that faith that came when you heard the word of God overcame your situation, and you left rejoicing in victory. Hallelujah. I mean, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it right now. I was hooked on nose spray for 14 years. I went from using it once a week to once every 10 minutes just to be able to breathe out of my nostrils. And one night we went to church, and there was some woman up there said she was praying for the sick. And I said, I got to have some relief. I got to have some deliverance. Lord, I need deliverance from this. This is ridiculous. And I went up there, and that woman prayed for me, and I guess it could have been anybody up there that night, I suppose. And I think I was just believing the Lord for healing. I was just believing that I needed to be healed, and I knew it was the Lord's will that I be healed. And I went up there that night, and I know the Lord touched me, and the Lord told me this. He said, I'm all you need. You heard me tell it through the years. I'm all you need. That spoke to some people. That don't mean, okay, all right, preacher, that sounds good. I know he's all I need. But that night, that was God told me that I'm all you need. I took that to mean I didn't need that nose spray no more. That's what I took that to mean. I don't need, if he's all I need, I don't need that nose spray. And man, I'll never forget leaving church service that night. The preacher was by the door, and I walked out and I grabbed his head. I was so excited. I said, man, I got delivered from nose spray tonight. And he was like, okay. Oh, you know who it was. Okay. It was nothing to him. But to me, I was going home delivered. Did I wake up the next day? Did I sleep all night with a clean tunnel, whatever that is up there? No. Man, my tongue got that big for about 3 weeks. You ever had dry mouth in the middle of the night? Think your tongue is a huge marshmallow or something. 3 weeks. But you know what? God began to. Because I had faith not to go buy no more of them. He's all I need. He's all I need. And I tell you what. I don't use nose spray no more. 14 years. And all the Lord told me was, I'm all you need. And I believed him. Left there with a stopped up nose. Had a stopped up nose for 3 weeks. That don't mean that, let me tell you something. That faith that came with that word that night brought me overcoming victory. Hallelujah. When you hear the Lord, faith comes and faith overcomes. Praise the Lord. Can I share one more scripture tonight? I got several, but I'm going to share one more. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, and we're quitting. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. I'm beginning to love Galatians. Maybe we're going to have to teach that in 8 years when we get out of Ephesians on Friday morning. Galatians chapter, what did I say? 6, yeah, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What's that word and beginning of a verse? A junction or conjunction, what do they call it? Conjunction. It means keep moving, he's not done. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And because we're students of the Word, and we know Hebrews 12:3 tells us the remedy for fainting, lest you grow weary and faint in your minds, consider the one that endured such contradiction of sinners. That means consider the one that died for your sins. Consider the one that gave his life for you, so that when your faith is in him, you won't have to grow weary. By the Spirit, you can keep doing good works. You can keep doing good things. By the Spirit, I said, you can keep sowing. You can keep doing well. You can keep sowing to the Spirit. Here's the reality of it, folks, as we close tonight. Unless your faith is in the cross, you're sowing to the flesh. It doesn't matter if you're doing this, the Bible says, or not doing that, the Bible says not do. God's not even acknowledging what you do or don't do. He's acknowledging the object of your faith. See, if my faith is literally in Christ and what he did at Calvary, then the Holy Spirit is quickening me. He is leading me, strengthening me. He's guiding me. He's showing me what I need to do. And then that is me doing those things He's called me to do through Christ. Remember Galatians 5:1-4 and Galatians 1:6. Christ can be of no benefit to you, have no effect on you, no profit for your life if your faith is not in what it was in that saved you. See, that narrows this thing down real narrow. Hello. What was that? Do you hear me? Sounds like there's a mic on or something. That's Terry up there doing something. Well, let me say it again as we get ready to close. And we might say that 10 more times. Unless your faith is in the sacrifice of Christ, all that you're doing, even though it's good, is in the flesh. Because it's you not operating through Christ. See, we can do all things through Christ. That means through our faith in the sacrifice. And we can bear that out in Scripture. For those who are struggling, just send me an email. CurtisHutchinson@att.net. I get questions every day from people all over the world. I don't mind taking time to answer them unless you just constantly try to tap on me all day. That won't work. And some people try to do that, but we can't just deal with people all day. But we do answer biblical questions many times every day from people all over this great nation and sometimes overseas, and we're glad to be able to do that. But unless your faith is in the cross, that's you doing everything you're doing, even though it looks like you got it going on. You're not cussing, but your faith is in water baptism for salvation. All the other things you got going on is you. It's just you. Only you. And something that's really been paramount in the last few messages I've preached has been this phrase, the didn't I's. You've heard me say it. At the great white throne judgment, there's going to be a lot of people that tell the Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I? Didn't I? But you and I are not going to be at the didn't I throne. We're going to be at the thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you did. I didn't do anything except through you. Amen. That's why I'm here, because of you. I came through you. Amen. I'm not in the group of the didn't I. See, that's those people that say they no longer need the cross. They've moved on to the didn't I's. Don't we have to do all this? See, the works are only found in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. The works we're called to walk in, been ordained to walk in, they're only in Christ. That means through Christ, and that means through faith in the cross. So the Holy Spirit can now. And the only way that you can be eating the bread of life is through your faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's one man on social media, every time I post something out there just about the cross and boasting in the cross, he comes on there and he's got to throw his 2 cents in about he's focused on the resurrection and he's focused on everything. And I don't know if some of y'all probably seen him, but I'll tell you what, I boast in the cross alone. I boast in the, I thank God for the resurrection. I thank God for the miracles Jesus worked. I thank God. I thank God for everything. But if it weren't for the cross, we wouldn't have one piece of it. Everything before the cross, went straight to the cross, was about the cross. Everything for eternity from the cross will be all about what Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did on that cross. Everything. And everybody who can't make that the centrality of their faith cannot eat of the bread of life. Cannot partake of Jesus. For years, because we did not know how to partake after salvation, we went without Christ being able to affect us. I was thinking the other day how many years we went through other people having to support us, not having no money because of false ministry. nothing but one bag load of problems after the next. One, I need money, I need money, I need money, I need this, lost my house, lost my land. I mean, you just go from one bucket of mess to the next bucket of mess. But when you come back to faith and grace, when you come back to the only place God will work in your life, then the fire of God begins to burn in your heart, and you begin to see the Word of God in truth, and you begin to experience, lay hold on this everlasting life. But you can't until you come back to Calvary. You can't until you come to Calvary. The church is not the answer. The preacher's not the answer. Nothing is the answer but Jesus Christ and His great atoning sacrifice. And He is the only bread that's come from heaven to give man spiritual life. No other bread, no other way, nothing else has God sent. And we'll get a little bit deeper in that Sunday morning. Has God sent to give life to anybody outside the bread of life, His Son Jesus? Stand with me tonight.